Well, thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to be here again. Some of the faces are familiar from February. We stopped in quick to visit to get a chance to meet him as you had voted him in, and we hadn't met. There's a lot of transition going on. We're grateful to be here. I'm usually not quite as nervous as I am at the moment, but I think it's because Pastor put pressure on me last night. He took us out to dinner. We had a great dinner, and then he was praying, well, looking forward to what the Lord had you to share, And we got back. We have a nice place there to set up our camper that the Lord provided for us. And I'm sitting down, and I'm looking through some old notes, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm writing a new quick lesson here for this morning. I don't know if it's going to be Sunday school teaching, but hopefully encouraging to you. Because I always like to try to share our ministry and what we're doing and how that should correlate to all of our lives. And that's just, God's word is precious, and we need to be reminded of that constantly. And when I say we, I'm always referring to myself. And whenever the Lord puts this on my heart, it's something usually that I am dealing with, I am struggling with, and I just like to share it with you. So you guys can either laugh at me or cry with me, whatever may be the thing. I think of the song we sang. I said, maybe that should be my theme song, Little As Much When God Is In It, because I am nothing, I am nobody. God gave me great responsibilities, and he's given me these opportunities to travel and to talk to people, meet people, and then I'm able to put together scriptures in new languages to go to people who don't have a Bible yet, and they're able to receive God's word in their hand for the first time that they can read and understand. And that's just, and I'm just a blue collar worker. I worked a lot of construction. I've worked HVAC, electrical work. I've done some mechanical work. A lot of different things that I've done, and the Lord took all those times and skills, and now he's putting them all to the test for me to be at the ministry here bearing precious seed. So as he introduced, I'm Joe, my wife is Jendi, and we wear the same outfits that are on our prayer cards, so you can recognize us, make sure we're the same people. The photo, though, is about 9 or 10 months old, the photo, sorry about that, but anyways. Sometimes when I get to go back somewhere, people are like, oh, you haven't changed, and I'm like, well, I guess that's a good thing. But we're working with Bearing Precious Seed. We have a unique little ministry in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, from Wildwood Baptist Church. And we have probably around a 5,000 square foot shop there that we have volunteers and people that come in and assemble God's word and distribute them around the world. And we send out container loads, and I'll share more of that with the morning service, but also in the evening too. I have lots of stories to share. So I'm going to only share a few little ones today, just kind of whet the appetite to get you to come back tonight so we can share a whole lot more and give you some really neat, encouraging stories that how the Lord is blessing the ministry. He's blessing his word as we send it out. And this morning when we had the prayer time and singing over in the fellowship hall, I felt, well, a pastor already started preaching my message for me that the Lord gave me. So then that makes me feel again so small, because for the Lord to connect all those dots and to know that we all are struggling with certain things in life, we all are dealing with things, and to have the scripture available to us to help us through those times. And then that, again, reminds me of the people who don't have the scripture, they don't have God's word to turn to grow and to learn and to have that hope of God's. So Romans 12:12, we'll start in that. We'll start with that passage. And as we shared, we're going through a lot of different struggles personally in our family. My wife shared a little bit of that too. Each of us were under attack. As we put together God's word and we put together certain projects, and we know it's going to be the first time that these folks are receiving God's word in their language, it seems like our ministry, our representatives, our director, we all go under an attack to try to slow us down, to discourage us, I don't know, to delay it. She shared the story of the epic John and Romans we put together at a summer camp in northern Wisconsin. We did 50,000, and we had 300 to 400 people there. It was more of a senior family camp, so they were all in ninth to 12th grade, and then the families and the other people were there to do that. So about 300 to 400 people at least come through, took time, turns, and within a day and a half, we had the 50,000 done. We would have had them probably a little bit faster, but of course, that's a lot of people moving through, a lot of retraining and showing people how to assemble it. But before we got to that, we had machines just randomly that had been successful for us for a long time, running, break down, and just in the weirdest ways. We never had that happen before. We tried to put together some materials, and some of the materials got damaged and fell apart. Our family, our minister, our kids all went under a really strong personal attack. We went under. Our director had some issues, and even the head church that had headed up the camp was organizing this. Their basement got flooded at their church right the week before we were getting ready to do this. So all the compound, we were like, how many lives is this going to affect? These were Spanish John and Romans going into the Caribbean beginning of next year, January to March or April. Wildwood is heading up a what they call epic campaign. They're trying to reach Puerto Rico and some of the surrounding islands with the gospel and share and help ministries to encourage them, because they're in such secluded areas, they don't have a lot of people to work with. So we're trying to do that, we're trying to get those there, and we're also encouraging these young folks to go on these trips to help. And we don't know have many people been on a missions trip? Many people here been on some? And if a young person can go, and these are very affordable missions trips, it will change their life, it will impact it. I was fortunate in 1990 as a younger man to go to India with my dad for about 6 weeks. Changed my life drastically, and I think that's one of the reasons I'm here today also, with the direction it took to show me the need out there, the people that are just looking for God's word, looking for an encouragement from his word. And when we think of these lives that are probably going to be changed, the devil doesn't want that to happen, so he was trying hard to slow that down. And as I try to share and research, because it seems like every time we do something else comes around, another tag. I know Pastor was saying about that. So Romans 12:12, this was a verse that the Lord gave me at camp after we had settled in, and I was looking back, wow, all these things that happened. What do we do? So Romans 12:12, the Lord said, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Help to remind us. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again to be here in your house, these faithful folks being out here this morning. And I just pray you bless your word, help your words to speak flow through me, help my flesh to stay out of the way. Ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. The part that really kicked to me was the last part, continuing instant in prayer. When I think of, we always go to the Lord when something goes wrong, right? And that's, I share that in a lot of my messages. We're struggling with something, we're dealing with a tribulation, we lost something, we need help with something, we do that. But also, instant in prayer, I like to think about thanking him. And I'm glad Pastor always asks for blessings before the prayer, you know, times. Share the good things that happen. If we focus so much on all those negative things, we're gonna just be discouraged all the time. But what has the Lord done? What blessings has he given us? And how has he helped us through our ministry personally and in your personal lives? But rejoicing in hope, and I think of the hope of the Word of God that God's Word can give to us, being patient through those struggles, and then continuing instant in prayer. I shared that with my son recently. He's had some vehicles issues. He wrecked his first car, which was kind of his dream car. He had a Dodge Charger. And then he totaled it, and then he bought a car. A guy helped him out. The Lord provided everything for him. So down part was wrecking the car, losing something that he really liked, but he knew he wanted to move forward in life. A gentleman that was working with him gave him a good deal, said, I'll give you the car for $1. Once you settle everything, we'll settle a price on buying the car. So he had a vehicle to work through. Well, then just recently, that car, the CV joints went out on it, and now he had to put some money into it. So he went back down. The roller coaster of life as you grow and you learn. So I tried to share this with him, be like, you got to be patient through this. We got to have to grow as we work in this. In our ministry, like I had shared before, getting God's word into the hands of as many people as we can. That's what our goal is. So we have God's word to turn to. We have a lot of individuals that donate their time, they'll pray for us, which we're thankful for. We're on the road a lot. And the finances. Pastors ask me, how do we fund? Do we fundraise or whatever for the ministry? The Lord just provides. We just in communication and word of mouth, people find out about certain projects that we're doing, and then all of a sudden we get large sums. It's $10,000 to $12,000 to ship a container to Africa right now. That's 40,000 pounds of material. And we had a ministry that found out we're getting ready to do some Bibles to send over there, a whole container, said, we like to pay for that, and then we heard you have 5 pallets of New Testaments going to Mexico. We'd love to pay for those too. And right there is probably about $17,000 worth of funds that we didn't have in the bank to do that, but the Lord provided it. And actually, for that container to be paid in advance, normally we have everything about ready. We're trying to schedule the container and get them to come in. We'll load it, and then we ship them out and pray the Lord pays the bill. You know, when the Lord already paid for it in advance, so we can see Him wanting to get His word. And that's what I think keeps the volunteers in our shop going, when they can come in and put together God's word. And knowing their fingerprints, a lot of our ministry is all ages. You'll see in the video, we have all ages in there, from little babies to, I think we only have one person, maybe over 90, that comes into the shop every once in a while. But a lot of them are retired. They're between 65 and 75, probably, is our standard handful dozen that just come in regularly and kind of keep the shop going. But then other groups come in and help, giving their time and knowing they're touching that. They're putting the fingerprints on a copy of God's word and sending it around the world. And that's what is keeping our ministry going. It's helping them do that, and they realize the importance of God's word. One gentleman comes into our shop. We were talking because he has an oxygen machine. We have a plug there for him. He comes in for an hour or two. And he says, "I would have given up if you guys would have closed this shop down back in 2020. He said, he has a lot of health issues. I think he's 89 or 90. And he's just, but coming in, sitting here, being able to fellowship, have my cup of coffee. And our director will make him cinnamon roll every now and then. And fellowship and put his fingerprints on there, get God's word together. He said, that's what's keeping me going, sharing God's word, knowing that God's word is going out. So that's kind of the benefit of our ministry. It's very unique. We'll share more detail later. And then I wanted to look at, you know, they realize the importance. I mentioned the importance of God's word. Why is the Bible important? I want to look at, we're still here in Romans, probably just a page or two over for you, chapter 15. And then this will kind of be a little bit of a sermonette or a lesson. Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So I'm going to look at 3 parts. They're not really, I was talking with a brother there, Harding, right? Not alliterated completely, but a little bit. So anyways, so he's going to report back to my pastor. So I'm in trouble. So anyways, and we look at the kind of 3 parts here. Things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. God gave us His word to learn from, to be taught from. And one of the things we can learn from, scriptures help with patience. That's kind of my first point. Scriptures help with patience. We're always really keen on building and strengthening our patience, right? It's always real easy to do, not a problem, not a trouble, right, to deal with patience and developing and growing that. And that's what I tried to share with my son, you know, the patience. If we aren't being exercised in that realm, then we're not growing. The Lord, as I would say, the Lord gave up on you. If you're not willing, if we want to exercise and build our muscles, right, we have to go through some soreness. We have to go through some breakdown and then rebuild to strengthen. So I like to think of that. So I try to keep that positive thought on the struggles and trials. I'm growing my patience. I'm growing my faith in the Lord. We're building it where we are in that. So scriptures can help us with patience. I'm going to look at James 1, James chapter 1 there, read a couple more verses on that, and I'll share another interesting story, personal story, what we had to deal with in ministry. So in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I always laugh when I read that. Faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Why do we need patience? To help us grow, to help us further our ministry for the Lord, to help us further in what we need to do for Him. We've been part of the ministry. We're officially commissioned February of 2022, And it was a slow start for us getting out on the deputation trail to raise our funds to be able to be full-time in the shop in the next couple of years. We're praying for that. So it's been a slow start. And we had talked about it for years. We'd like to have a truck and a camper and try it, just so we could be on the road a little bit more, have our own bed to sleep in, be able to have, you know, food there that's just not fast food all the time and eating out, have maybe be a little bit healthier in that aspect. Treat. I mean, how many extroverts are here? How many people just love being around people all the time? A few? Yes. Okay, a few. And then we have introverts, right? There's the in-between. What do they call that? Ambiverts? Anybody ever heard of ambiverts? Okay, they're extrovert in nature. They want to be out and around, but they need to stop. They have to go back and retreat for a little bit, right? So you build the energy. And then there's just introverts where I'd rather just stay over in a corner somewhere. Everybody in the world can go by me. Let's just get life over with. I'm in between that ambivert and introvert. I do like being able to fellowship and share a ministry and share God's word, but I'd rather be back in the shop with my head buried underneath a machine, working on it, figuring out what needs. To have a chance to retreat. So, boy, that was really a rabbit trail. Started sounding like my dad. But to have the camper in Facebook Marketplace, you know, looking at these old, I'm a handyman, I can fix a lot of things. I'm like, no problem, we'll buy an old one because it's only a couple $1,000 and we'll put a few thousand in it and we'll be good to go, right? It'll get us down the road, it'll move us along. We went and looked at a couple, had a friend come with me in one of them, and it's like, boy, these are rough. I don't know if it's worth the effort, the hassle. And so we just prayed, okay, Lord, if you want us to have one, you'll provide one. And it obviously, we looked at the price tags and they were a lot more. What do we do? And I was talking with a gentleman in church. He's a friend of the ministry and friend of us. And he said, well, we're getting ready to retire. We have a camper. It's a 2013. And he said, I would give it to you, but I have to pay some bills. So I'll sell it to you for what I need to pay the bill off my one bill for, which was about $4,000 to $5,000 less than market value. And it's a 2013. So I'm getting this 2013 for the price of probably a 2005 or 2006 camper, and it's a lot nicer. And my wife and I are like, oh, what do we do? So we go over, we've scheduled time, we look at it, and I can just see the smile on my wife's face, but then also the look on her face of, we're not getting this. This is just too much money. This is too nice. Why would we have something like this? And I asked him, I said, well, could we take it for a test run? I had to do some pulpit fill up in about 3 hours north of us in the Upper Peninsula. A friend of mine loaned his truck to me, and we pulled the camper up there. We set it up. We tried it all out. Everything worked great. Up there, we had to use the air conditioning and the heat all in the same day. And it worked out great. We tested everything, and we came back, and he's like, what do you think? Well, we like it. I didn't have a truck at this time. We only had an SUV. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, if I get this, I definitely need a bigger vehicle. And I said, well, we like it. It's really nice. I think you're giving us a fair deal. I said, well, I believe the Lord wants us to have this. I'll be back Tuesday with the money. I only had about half the money in the bank. What do you do, Lenny? So I talked to a few people, a couple of people, and one person paid me in advance for some work that I was doing for him, and another individual gave me a small loan to get the balance of that, and we were able to go back and buy that camper, which is sitting out here in your parking lot. The way the Lord gave us that beautiful camper, but the part of the patience I'm getting to is, we have a camper now, but how are we gonna go anywhere with it? I don't have a truck. Well, my one friend was helpful. He said, well, if you need to go somewhere, I'll loan you my truck to use it, a different friend. I was like, okay, I got a backup plan. That's just me in the flesh. I always have to have a backup plan. You think he would have taught me by now just to trust him and move forward, right? Be patient and trust in him and we'll move forward. But no, in my flesh, I have to have that backup plan. And I was looking. I was actually looking to come out here and buy a nice, clean, older truck, you know, because out here you guys don't have to deal with rust like we do. And then I got thinking, how am I going to get that much money out there to buy something in cash? And then then I have to drive it back and then come back again. And I was like, well. So God took us down to the wire. Talk about patience. We were ready to go. We had an event. We had a trip planned. We went up to northern Wisconsin, through Minnesota, out to North Dakota. It was our first trip for about 3 weeks. And it was all planned, all set up to do that. Kept shopping. Finally, I found online a truck about an hour and a half south of us. In the meantime, my backup plan, well, his work van broke down, so he needed that truck now. That truck was no longer available. I forgot to share that part. So now I'm like, okay, Lord, now I really need a truck. I don't have a backup plan. I really have to trust in you. And God provided it. And it's just amazing. We were able to pick it up. It's a little bit older. It's not as nice as, you know, what I was maybe intentionally looking at, but it runs great. We enjoy riding in it. It's comfortable to work with. The Lord finally gave us the power, and it was only a few days before we had to leave town with it. So taking your patience right down to the wire, stretching your faith that God would have that. And he gave me these passages of scripture, several of them, to help me understand I need to trust in him, and he'll get me through that. He'll get me through that, the patience. So the scriptures help with patience, and then the scriptures I like to look at will give comfort. In 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, you're welcome to turn there, or when I get there, I will read it. Pages are sticking together. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. Who comfort us all in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. When I think about, okay, we went through this trial, we had to learn patience, we had to learn this struggle. And I'm sharing that story, maybe I pray that the Lord can help you, maybe if you're struggling with something, go through that. As we look at this, the reason we go through that is so we can be able to comfort others. We can share with them how we had, whether we want to give all the details on how much the flesh might have gotten in the way when we're going through that struggle or the trial, but to know that if we stay close to God, we trust in him, we turn in his word, we read it, God will get us through it. He will provide the comfort we need to go through that time. It can distract us, as I know it's just amazing how well things are blending with what Pastor's been sharing. But the devil wants us to be distracted, because if we're distracted, we're not doing what God needs us to do. And that is where the trial, and I want to talk about the pastor about it a little bit later, but the devil has a very strong attack on me personally right now that I've been dealing with since I left the house. It's nothing sinful in any nature, it's just a situation that came up. And if you can pray, kind of like as an unspoken, that it goes through. I shared with a few people to help with that, to go through it, because it was a major distraction. I was having trouble even at times just driving, because it's very irritating, the attack that's there, and it doesn't make sense to me. But as I had people ask them to pray, I had a peace, I had a comfort come over, and I've been able to push it to the side, because I know he's the only one that can take care of this issue. I mean, it makes no sense. And if God can take care of that issue and allow my heart and mind to be clear, so that when I can share the ministry, I can share what God is doing and how he is directing in our lives. But it was just like a punch in the face. It's like, okay, Lord, we're going off on the road, and then bam, wow, thanks. I mean, it was nonstop for the first 4 or 5 days as we started traveling. But the comfort I have to turn to his word, I don't read it, I always share that, I don't read his word as much as I should, I want to read it more, and I try hard every time we travel to do more, get more into his word, get more into the scriptures, because it can give a comfort. And when we realize that, that's the other thing. I'm thankful for our volunteers in the shop. They realize that importance. They're very faithful prayer warriors for us in the ministry. Whenever we go out, we come back, they want to know all about all our trips, want to know how things went, be like, we've been praying for you, we pray that, did the truck run good, did the camper have any issues, you know, they'll ask us, had everything go well, and they're trying to be a comfort to us, and they're trying to share a comfort and a situation or to help us through these times. The volunteers see that importance. And I think that's what helps them put together the scriptures that they do in the shop. And then finally, I want to look at the scriptures give hope. As we go through the, and when we look, when we're first hitting that trial, learning that patience, the hope seems to be shut off, right? The light at the end of the tunnel has been shut off due to save energy, right? Isn't that how that goes? Something like that. So, but there is always a light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. We can get through it. We have hope, and we can get it from God's word. Psalm 146 and verse 5. This here, Psalm 146, actually, I think I got the wrong, I'm in 145. That's why it doesn't line up. 146:5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Amen. We think about being happy. We can be happy. We have that hope because our help is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our salvation came from. That's where everything we have in the ministry, everything we have, we owe it to God for what he has given, for what he has blessed us with. I never try to be one that's bragging. I want to brag on God. I don't want to brag about me or what I might have or abilities. I want to brag on what God has given to us and is allowing us to share and to minister to others. We have hope in the Lord. We have his hope. That's what gives us to it. We've been working with a ministry in Malawi, Africa, and their title is Hope for the Future. And this missionary has been working for several years. He goes a few months down to Africa. He's actually a missionary in Romania, goes to Africa and helps and ministers, but he wants to give people God's word. Every time he's there, he gives them a copy of God's word. We've sent two containers to that area. Another ministry sent a container with John Romans, New Testaments, whole Bibles, and they just keep wanting more and more. The people just want God's word. They're showing up in these open air meetings, attending, getting saved, reporting to churches, and encouraging others. It's just when you watch the blessing that is going through to see that, but that he realizes the hope. And when we do a custom cover for him, I think we might have one back there. It's got an orange and has a giraffe on it. You flip it over, it's got their flag of Malawi. It says hope in it, hope for the future. He knows that the only way he's going to give those people in that area hope is through God's word. And that's what he's trying to do. And that's the people that we try to align our ministry with to help on this side, because we have, in America, we have a lot of resources, thankfully. It does cost money, though, to get those resources to the next area, but to try to put something together in that country would take a lot of time and a lot more effort. And then I want to look at Romans 15, verse 3. I believe I got the right one here. No, 13, sorry, 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. As we think about the Holy Spirit working in our lives, we think about God's word. And that's how I feel like we can stay in tune with God, is through his word. Stay in tune with the Spirit through his word. And that's where our hope and our peace can come from as we go through all these challenges. And so we look at the Bible and our ministry, how we are looking to put it together, to share it. And we think about how important God's word is. Those were the three points that I came up with real quick in sharing in my life personally as I look at what I go through. And, you know, the patience to deal with the struggles, the trials, the scriptures, turn to God's word. We can have that. When we need that little bit of extra comfort, when we need that to get through that trial, the scriptures are there again for us. As I shared in 2 Corinthians 1:4, the scripture gives comfort. And then I want to look at these scriptures that give us the hope. We can deal with that. Now, primarily, the first hope we have from the scriptures is salvation. Is getting saved and knowing that we have a home in heaven. That's the first part we have to get through. We have to know, accept Jesus as our Savior, know that we're a sinner, and we need to be saved through his grace. And I'm just thankful that I have had that opportunity to do that, and that has what given me the hope to take on a task like this, a ministry. I'm not a public speaker. I, like I said, I like to work. I like to fix things. I like to take things apart, put them back together. That's just, to me, that's fun. Some of you are probably like, wow, you're crazy. You may rather be up here speaking instead of doing something along that line. But through his word, when I think of the blessing the God's word can give us, I just thankful the Lord put me into this ministry to be a part, to help share this hope, be able to help share the comfort to these folks around the world. That's what I have for you in the lesson. We'll give a little more detail about the ministry, morning service, as Pastor mentioned, and then I'd love to give you lots more encouraging stories this evening about the ministry. These were a little bit more personal ones here this morning, and I hope they were a blessing, encouragement. Maybe you're going through a struggle or trial, but remember God's there, his word's there. Just all we got to do is open it up and look. And it's amazing how the Lord will give it to us. Thank you, Pastor. Did you want to? Great
job. Thank you. Okay, let's close things with prayer. And thank you for that lesson this morning, Brother Pagano. Father, we thank you for your word and the timeless truths that you teach us from your word. And this morning it might be somebody needs to be encouraged. And, well, I feel certain that that's the case. And so we pray that you would work in hearts. I pray you'd help us to acknowledge you and your work. I pray that our hearts would be open to receive the word this morning. We pray for the services to come, that your grace would be with us. And, Lord, help us to honor you with our spirit. Lord, guide us in your path. And, Lord, give us strength to submit, courage to take a step of faith. Again, we love you. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' holy name we pray.